Well, we're going to read from John chapter 14 this morning. I'm going to read a little bit beforehand, and Bob, you can just catch up when I hit verse 6. Just feel compelled to read a little bit more. Would you guys stand with me as I read this? John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father. The Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How are you guys praying right now? What are you talking to God about? Everybody in here plus one has something on their hearts, or two or three things that you are fighting for, asking God for help. Lord, will you show up in this way? I shared a little bit of our moving story. God, I need your help. I'm sore. Give me the life I need. For some of us, we're asking for more. We need provision. We need work. We need gas money. Some of us, we've been so blessed. God, give me less. Show me where to pour out. What can I give away? Some of us ask for help during busy seasons. Lord, keep my anxieties down. Amen. God, help me to stay focused on you when times are slow. Don't let me stumble. Man, right now, holidays, every year for me, it's like, okay, here we go. It's Christmas. You got year end for work. You've got parties to go to. Some of them you don't want to go to, but you're compelled. Work gets busy. You've got gifts to figure out, sending Christmas cards. Did we even get our family photo this year? There's so much duty, so much happening at this time of year. What are you asking God for? Is he involved? It's a very, very human experience what Philip is dialoguing with Jesus about. Just show me the Father, and I'll believe. I get it. I get it in my head. Just show me God. Could you just show up once? And I love that Jesus doesn't, I mean, he goes at Philip. He's like, I've been with you. Like, you're literally looking at me. But Jesus doesn't scold us for bringing our worries, our concerns, our needs to him. He, like, loves to discover what's going on in our lives. He wants to know who we are. And as we draw near to him, the word promises, he will draw near to us. Abide in me, he says, as I abide in you. Make your home in me. We've talked about last few weeks the locations of God, and a few weeks ago we talked about the God of the cosmos, the creator, the one who put the stars in motion and creates the very air we're breathing. That God is there. And then there's the God who has, like, made himself present on this earth. The one who reveals himself in creation and answers his promises. This God is not some heavenly being out in the distance. He has descended, made himself present. But man, there's one location of God that we so often miss in our life. We think we got it, but there is this key to this God, is that he is a relational God. He is not merely all-powerful and present. He is in our life like a friend, like a parent. He knows us. Individually. That's hard to believe, you guys. It's a weird thing to think about, this cosmic God who raises the sun in the morning, who makes life happen, knows you, is present with you. It's part of this conversation Philip is having with Jesus. Could you just prove yourself to me, God? Evidence your presence in my life, and then I will believe. Man, how often do we make those prayers? God, I will truly get it if you just answer this one simple prayer. And Advent, I think, reminds me, I have made myself present with you. The breath of heaven. Breathe in me. We've not been so lucky to experience a solid winter yet here in Denver. It's chilly and it's getting close, but man, it does not feel like Christmas yet, does it? I got a picture from my mom last week. You know, I grew up in Michigan, and if you've heard, Michigan has had winter storms. They woke up to this. They got 2 feet overnight. You know what they call 2 feet overnight in Michigan? Wednesday. Man, 2 feet here would shut everything down. 20 years ago, Jess and I were doing a middle school internship, and I've joked before, doing that middle school internship confirmed in my heart that I was not built for middle school ministry. So for those young adults and teenagers, if you're thinking, man, I'd love to do youth ministry, work with middle schoolers for 3 months. If you can handle it, maybe you've got the chops. But you guys remember that winter storm in 2005? We got maybe a foot and a half of snow. The whole city shut down. Jess and I were like, we're going to go to Chili's. We drove down here to where the breakfast place is now, and it was closed. I'm like, why is Chili's closed? It's like, oh, it's winter storm. We got up at 8 a.m. to drive to Victory Church, if you know where that is, North Sheridan and like 120th, from 64th and Ward. It's 5 miles. I had a four-wheel drive, Jeep Cherokee. We just got in the car and went to the internship. And I'm plowing through the snow like nothing's going on. I grew up in Michigan, you guys. This is a Wednesday for me. I'm like, we got there. There's like 8 people at church. The youth pastor's like, why are you guys here? I'm like, oh, we just thought we had the internship thing. And he's like, nobody's here. So driving in the winter, man, that teaches humility pretty quick, doesn't it? In Michigan, the roads get plowed, and the only time school gets canceled is when the wind is so strong that they can't keep the snow plows clearing the roads fast enough. As opposed to like Georgia and Atlanta, we've got friends down there, if it even snows a little, they shut everything down, right? But driving in the winter is a scary thing, even in Michigan. But we get that experience here where you get those drivers who are very careful, a little too careful, aware of the conditions a little too much, and they're driving in the center of 2 lanes. And you can't get around them, and you're just stuck behind this two-wheel drive, Honda Accord. They're trying their best. Or Civic, yeah. Although Civics can do it. Good Hondas, you know. And then there's those people who are in the, like, Hummers, those lifted 3500s, just plowing through everything and picking up snow. And you like, oh my gosh, could you just slow down? I can't even see. There's too much going on. You've got these, nobody's scared. It's a little bit like the practice of our faith, driving in the winter, isn't it? We either ask God, like Carrie Underwood, to take the wheel, which is not recommended. If you let go of the wheel and just say, Jesus, take it, I've got bad news for you. Or you're driving those big SUVs and you assume that you got everything handled. So often we want God to take over. And when we get into a car accident, we get mad at him. Or we've got things under control. When things don't go our way, we ask, why didn't God pave the way more? We want God to be involved in difficulty, but we don't invite him into our daily life. His presence doesn't remove the difficulty. It doesn't remove our responsibility. We have to hold on to that steering wheel. We're the one driving the car. But how do we talk to God in the midst of that challenge? The Spirit of God, as Jesus is promising here, is this spirit of guidance, of truth, of companionship in the midst of real life difficulties. He doesn't just magically wave a wand and fix our problems. He wants to be present with us. He wants to be the air we breathe. He wants to remind us of his goodness, help you make good decisions, wise decisions, impact people's lives, show his light to others, prove that he is transforming creation to this beautiful, peaceful, shalom-like state. He's choosing you to do that stuff, but you've got to invite him into your life. He doesn't override your humanity. There's a secret word called abide. make your home in me. The abide, abode, it's the same word, home. Make your home in me. Dwell. Be present. Like you've just gotten off the road of the slushy, slippery road, and you come inside next to this warm fire. This is the experience of abiding in the presence of a relational, caring, loving God. Do you believe that? Man, I want to believe it. It feels good to believe it. But do we actually live that way? Do we live our lives in such a way that we're inviting the very presence of the Creator God into our lives? Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 49, 13 through 16. It says this. I'm going to skip a few verses, but it says, shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people. He will have compassion on afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Such a normal prayer there. Isaiah says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your wells are ever before me. I mean, it's nonsense to think that a nursing mom would forget that her child is there. But even if she does, God will not forget you. He doesn't let you go. That's why this Emmanuel, God with us, this beautiful word of a God who has made himself present with us, Emmanuel, is not a distant, detached, passive God. He is consistently revealing through the scripture that I am present. I draw near to you. I speak to you. I listen. I respond. I am present in your life, kind of God. I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. That's covenant language, friends. The kind of language of a God who does not forget. When he sets his mind and his heart on something, he does it. So much so, he has written your name on his hands. God has located himself permanently, relationally in the midst of his people. That's the beauty of this Advent celebration, this anticipation, this excitement of the birth of a child, is that this cosmic God has become like us, present with us. And Philip so ignorantly just doesn't see it. Show us the Father, and then I'll get it. So often my prayers, I'm sure yours are like this. God, if you would just show me, that would be enough. And Jesus does not really answer this, but he says, I am present with you. God is not this abstract idea, Jesus says. I'm right here. I've been with you the whole time. You want to see the Father. It's not just in your head, you guys. I'm right in front of you. Man, in our prayer life. Connecting to God, asking Him to be with you, to answer prayers, fill my heart, calm my anxieties, provide, direct, lead, take the wheel. Our prayers of a God, would you just share your life with me? Be with me. Show your love to me. These are very selfish sounding prayers, but He created you to be with Him. These prayers are pouring out of your heart. These are good things to be asking God for. And He invites you into this space. And He makes this promise. This relationship will not end. When I send you my Spirit, the Spirit of truth, I will remain with you. I will abide with you. So we're going to talk about these three ideas, three R's. Good preacher has to have three letters to start with. What's the word for that? Alliteration. Yeah, thank you. Just makes a good sermon. Without alliteration, you've got nothing. So here's the power of the Spirit, that He brings truth as a reality, truth as revelation, and truth as relationship. Friends, we live by the Spirit according to what is truly happening in the kingdom of God. There is a reality out there, a real reality, that is true, and our eyes can't see it, but we are living in it. And it is this kingdom that God has expressed in His people. And by the power of His Spirit, we live in this reality. And then truth that God's Spirit is driving all of this kingdom towards something that is very hopeful. God is revealing His kingdom through our lives. And ultimately that all of this, this relationship, this community, this kingdom that's shared by the Spirit is to His glory. That the relationship we have with one another in unity with God as we abide in Him and in one another, as we abide in the Father, this beautiful relational community that's expressing this kingdom gives God the glory. Not just a self-gratifying glory. God's not looking for self-gratification. He wants to express His love and His care to the world. And He wants people to know that He has made Himself present. And that's how we ought to live. This truth of a relationship with the Creator God that is as true as the chairs you are sitting on. And as we live in this reality, God is being glorified. And people begin to see that our lives have purpose. And that there is a God that cares for us. And when my prayers don't get answered the way I think they should, there is still goodness happening in this world. That's something that you can hang on to. We call that hope. Hope in the midst of darkness, of challenge. This truth of reality, this abiding Spirit of God is this place of our soul knowing what's worth living for? What's worth investing our life into? The Spirit of God anchors us in the realities of this true kingdom. Still thinking about these like roadside prayers, right? When you're driving through and things are challenging. I mean, I talk to God a lot when I'm driving. God, give me a deeper understanding. Help me walk with you. Give me the answers. And God never tells me the future. But by his Spirit, we get understanding. We get a sense of peace in circumstances. The Spirit's omniscience, its ability to predict the future, he's not doing that for us. He's just giving us this discernment to see what the reality of his kingdom is at this very moment in time. That's that truth of the kingdom of heaven. This reality is that God is moving and among us in this world. And as we ask God for help, he says, Mark, do this at this very moment. And you go, by faith, okay, let's create some good. That's what God's doing in our life, this reality that we're expressing through the kingdom of heaven. It's creating good in moments. So when we ask God for help, he points us to the reality of the kingdom of heaven, the truth that he's out there moving. Interact with it. Do my things, he says. I really get frustrated with this idea of obedience when we talk about our Christian walk. I understand the concept of obedience, like a child doing what their father says. But there's something more beautiful about our relationship with God as he compels us into this abiding relationship. He's transforming our heart. He's going deeper than just obedience. He's giving us a honing of our inner compass, helping us to see what the cross means, to see what his life means. He's changing our hearts. It's not just about this checklist of things that we ought to do to perform our lives for God, but to allow God to shape our compass to find north, right? That we love north. That we see the goodness coming from the cross. And we go that way. Not out of obedience. Like a good child. But because our hearts are drawn to the goodness of God. See, when Jesus says you're going to understand all this, and I'm going to give you the Spirit. He's referencing back to Isaiah 11, also in 9, but 11 says this, wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength. I'm giving you these things by my Spirit. Through the Spirit, Jesus is more than he can be in the flesh. That's the reality. This veil's gone, and God lives in us. He's pointing us every day in the direction of his relationship. Not just some abstract theology, you guys. This is active friendship, companionship. There's a person there. As real as Philip saw Jesus, God is present with us. As God continues to reveal himself, this truth as revelation, we see the Spirit constantly connected to truth as an advocate for you, an advocate for Christ, and an advocate for shalom, peace. Not just inner peace, not just like peace on earth, but true peace. The fullness of God being present, of harmony and well-being, where war has ended and lives are shared and there is goodness and love and compassion happening everywhere you look. That's shalom when the When the Jews express shalom when they say hi and shalom when they say goodbye, they're promising, they're pledging, they're oathing, they're hoping for peace. Shalom to you. May God's completeness find itself expressed in your life. Shalom. Shalom to you. Shalom. When we talk about the revelation of God, it's happening through peace. There's so much violence out there. There's so much trauma. There's so much brokenness and abuse. Friends, that is not the character of God. I'm not going to soapbox on this. But we have to understand this one thing. If you want your life to witness the character of God, this one thing, peace. Peace in everything you do. Bring peace. Bring shalom. Create harmony. Create hope. Give people a reason to love this God. Don't give them a list of things to do. Give them a reason to love the sacrifice of God and to live their life that way too. Peace. Don't create war. Don't create conflict. Give your life to others. I'm not telling you to be abused. That's not what I'm saying. I do have to set some boundaries when there's unhealthy relationships. Talk to your therapist. But I tell you this, when peace takes root, that's where God is at work. That's the revelation of God, expressed in peace. And the Spirit, as we pray, reveals His peace patiently, quietly. He matures our hearts, compels us to understand, calls us into these peace-creating activities. Where is God? Why is there brokenness? Because He has called us, like He has done for you, to step into others' brokenness, to bring peace. That's the revelation, the truth, the reality of the Spirit of God. Lord, guide me. Help me to know You today. Okay, Aaron. Step into something hard. Well, I don't want to do that. Bring peace. See, I'm not being very specific about this because there's so much happening. Sometimes for me, it's like you drive by someone panhandling on the street and you know that you're not supposed to do anything. But other times, you're like, I got to do something. Going to the grocery store right here, there's always families at that second stoplight on 32nd. I don't know. Buy some pre-made food. What would Jesus have done? Feed the masses. He would have looked them in the eye. Heard their name. He would have stopped His life to go into theirs. I just drive by. You guys get, like, I'm talking to myself here. I'm not trying to condemn you. I feel this every single time I see a panhandler and I don't know what to do. And they say, God, help me to know how to do this. Shape my heart. Help me to care in a way that You care for this person. I don't have good answers for that. But this is where the truth as relationship comes in. Again, it's not a checklist of things that we ought to do to satisfy God's desire for us. But we are in a relationship with God. We are in a relationship with the peacemaker. That we ourselves are becoming the makers of peace. Friends, as we pray and invite God into our lives, dwelling in Him, abiding in His presence, as Emmanuel, God is in the midst of our lives. He's an active companion. In Christ, through the Spirit of God, we have become free from the powers of laws and checklists and obedience and commands, into the power of a true, abiding relationship. Like he says to Philip, I'm right here. I'm right here. And even when I'm not, I'm sending my Spirit to be with you. Where our religion can be formed through factors like a desire to do right, have real care for the lost. Once you have hope in God's salvation, knowing that the kingdom is still at work, that God's peace and goodness is being expressed in your life, that is when we start to become deeply formed by the goodness and the peace of Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel, here, now. There's a promise of Advent there. God not only came as a child a long time ago, he remains by his Spirit. As he promised Philip then, I will send my Spirit and I will remain with you. I will relate with you. When you ask me to reveal myself, I will present myself to you. Oh, Lord, shape my little car prayers to ask for your presence in my life. Let that be my prayer. Right? Let me love you. Let me abide in you. Shape my compass. As we reflect on this incredible promise, a reality of God, a revelation, a relationship with God, as we invite our worship team up quietly, I want to invite us together to a moment of quiet reflection. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God, Emmanuel, is here, relating to us. Regardless of where you find yourself today, regardless of the things that you've been praying for, asking God for, maybe you're overwhelmed by Christmas or life circumstances, or you made a bad decision, or you're sensing distance from God, or maybe you just want more of His presence. God is here. Listen. Listen for Him. Let's take this moment. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Pause, breathe, listen. God's not asking you to accomplish anything. You don't have to prove anything to Him. Receive the gift of Emmanuel.